Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2016 Sarajevo Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Joanna Pavlova, and we're going to talk together about Talent Sarajevo. Joanna, what are you doing here with the talents exactly? Would you like to tell our listeners?
Hi Matt, I was invited this year as a mentor of the program. In fact, Festivalists has been a partner of the program for the last 4 years. So every year when the talents submit their reviews, they go online first on our blog. And then this year they finally invited me on the spot to be here as a mentor. And I also have two workshops. One was yesterday on the importance of social media in the work of film journalists and film critics in general. Then at the end of this week, there are the so-called VR days, part of the CineLink. And on Saturday, I have a workshop on VR in general and industry stuff, how to expand VR on the Balkans, new probably economic models, etc., etc. But as a mentor of the program, of the Talent Press program, I'm here to guide six bright writers from the Balkans, to give them guidance how to write their reviews, and then we'll probably have a few more talks with them, group and solo, like one-to-one, on how they can have more opportunities career-wise and etc. Every person who is being selected here to take part of the program has a very particular background and a very particular professional experience. So we have a group of six people this year who are interested in two different stuff, first of all. Then I can say about all of them that the level of their English is pretty impressive, mm-hmm. even though some of them already write for American outlets, for example. But they still need to know some details about pitching, let's say, or how to make a breakthrough in day-to-day journalistic writing, because one of them, let's say, has a rather academic background. So every person has different demands and different questions, and I'm ready to... of course, I don't have all the answers, but I would love to have a conversation with these people. Maybe I can give some answers. Maybe they can also give me some answers to some questions that I still have.
Yeah. You never really stop learning, do you?
Of course.
You mentioned something about VR, actually. Would you like to elaborate on that? I'm very interested to know.
Yeah, sure. Virtual reality, or VR in short, has been like buzzing for, let's say, 1 year at least. Ever since the beginning of this year, 2016, was the first official public release of a VR headset. So actually, customers or viewers, let's say, can finally experience it. Because back at the time, it was possible to access VR mostly on festivals like Sundance, Tribeca, and etc. Mm-hmm. Like for the past several months, I would say, there were a lot of VR meetings in Paris, where I live. And there is already actually a program at CNC that allows people to get funding, official funding for VR project, which was pretty quick, I would say, when you think about France in general. So I'm here to discuss with professionals from the Balkans how can actually VR be part of the culture, part of the business here, what kind of models and what kind of stories we can actually develop in VR, because it's a completely new medium. Some think it's more for entertainment, for video games, and etc. Yeah. But I can assure you that there are a few documentary projects, for example, I've been following, I'm familiar with, and they're very, very impressive when you experience them in this kind of environment.
So when you say that it's a completely new medium, it also sort of integrates, do you see it as integrating in the evolution of cinema in a way?
That's a very complex question. I would like to think of VR as a medium that combines all the arts, including theater, let's say, or architecture, because it's very plastic. Like when you're inside it, when you're experiencing, let's say, a VR project, you can really have this very particular sense of the 3D environment here. And so it's not just about images, it's also about sound a lot. I would say the importance of sound is key in VR. And then there is also the idea of how you move physically into the space, because of course in some projects in VR you're still passive, like you're sitting on a chair, etc. But then there's also a combination of VR and AR, or AR as everything you've heard about Pokemon Go, it's actually augmented reality. So there are so many possibilities to explore. I think we're still in the beginning. And I would like to hear from local professionals what they have in mind, what their worries are about, because a lot of people are actually worried in the cinema industry when it comes to VR. Some people just reject it. So I'm here to kind of open these conversations.
Oh, very good. So that would be what the talks towards the end of the festival, you said,
exactly,
will be dedicated to. That's fantastic. If we could possibly go back to the theme of criticism as well, one of the things that also evolves as cinema evolves, as different innovations come along, has to be the way in which films themselves are looked upon. How do you feel like criticism has sort of evolved, especially in recent times? Because I think they are still kind of really evolving, in the process of evolving.
Well, when we speak about film festivals and film industry, I would say that writing on cinema has been more and more limited to PR. And it's a pity, because there's not much space for to say anything challenging. And when you go to festivals, you usually have to be nice. And the way you write and the way you address certain things, of course, some people can afford to say exactly what they think, yeah. But I would say it's difficult. And I think internet at the same time and everything that's going on gives us opportunities to have resistance. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what I aimed for when I started this project, Festivalist, in 2012. I wanted young writers from all over the world to have a space where they can write the way they want to go outside of the classic review form and really challenge themselves, go outside of their comfort zones and say exactly what they want to say. It's a little bit complicated because we're still a pro bono project. So people technically do not get reimbursed for what they write, but I found alternative ways to support them. First, because we are perceived now as a community of 30 writers, and then I also follow all of them very closely on social media, and I make sure to promote all the work for other outlets as well, because this also sort of creates the narrative of our media. And I think it's also important for them to be supported for what they do in general, not just for festivalists. And I would say it has been a very positive experiment, because it started just like that. You know, I had no idea whether it would be even feasible, but it has been going on pretty well.
And of course, social media plays a very important role in criticism as well as other types of journalism.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm a little bit of a geek in general, and I come from this a little bit from IT, the IT industry.
Yes.
So I'm pretty much interested into new technologies in general. And I do believe that social media is a tool we need to use, and we need to use wisely. And we need to be informed about the way, all the different ways we can actually use it. Mm-hmm. And it's a pity that so many young people today are a little bit shy or just don't feel confident enough to develop their online presence, while at the same time a particular group of, let's say, Anglo-Saxon writers are pretty strong on Facebook or on Twitter. Some of them are now explore possibilities on Snapchat or on Instagram, which is great. And these people kind of give the impression that they are the most important ones, the most relevant ones, and etc., etc. And I think that for people who come from every other continent, even from places where English, let's say, is the official language, like Nigeria, India, Australia, and etc., they need to be more brave. They need to be more present in social media, I think, the way the Anglo-Saxon, let's say, professionals use it. And this would give them better chances to be heard and to be read and to be present even physically on festivals.
Present physically and also stand out as individuals as well. You don't want to kind of fit into a certain group of people, in this case critics, and maybe like a constant fear throughout the ages has been like that people follow waves represented by hierarchies and film criticism as well. So maybe social media can help with that too.
Yeah, exactly. And then let's think about the fact that we're on the Balkans, and here the media landscape has really suffered a lot in the past few years. And there is a lot of corruption in media, in every public media, even in private media, like connections between politics and media have been... these two spheres have interfered in a not the most healthy way here. And many young people just don't want to be part of this. So I think that by developing their own projects through social media can make them independent, and all these tools that are free or almost free can really empower young people to pursue their own path.
Networking in film festivals is always talked in terms of filmmaking, but I think, you know, what you said also kind of says it can be quite important in developing new ideas regarding film criticism. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have left, but it was quite very interesting talking with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.